What's up,
Blog
Cleveland?
Talk Radio.
Yeah, don't forget about
them. Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Cleveland, y'all
never get
so.
Yes, sir. Can they do two in the same year? Oh my God, I can't believe it.
Crazy. What up, America? Welcome to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Yeah, as my co-hosts are just talking about, just, you know, we're obviously right in the middle of watching the World Series. It's crazy seeing what's going on right now with Cleveland and trying to do their thing. It's still early, obviously, but we'll see how that plays out for sure. Today, of course, is October the 25th. You are officially Talking Sports with the 12th Man. I'm your boy, Andre, a.k.a. Dre. Let's check in with my co-host, Mr. JQ. How you feeling this evening, sir?
I'm good, man. I'm off the ledge, everybody. I know y'all was out there worried about me. I'm off the ledge. I'm good. We'll be back.
Hey,
Ohio State just one loss, man. They still in the hunt. No time to throw in the towel yet.
Hey, man. That was tough on my soul. But you know, shout out to the Shambly High School 20-year reunion for helping me get out of that funk while I was watching the game. And my wife's reunion was nuts.
Hey, man, shout out. Yeah, we're glad they're there to kind of help kind of soften that blow, man. That's what it's all about, man. But like I said, every time you join us, we are a therapy session, too. So, Mr. Robert Ford, talk about needing some therapy. How you feeling this evening, sir?
Man, doing great. And you guys, Fair City spying on you guys in ATL. You know, got a little grilled chicken. You know, quesadillas, you know, nothing too fancy tonight, but, you know, all is well.
Yeah, he ain't got all the spices and not being in New Orleans.
Yeah,
trying,
you know,
man.
Food not quite as good, but, you know, I, you know, try to find something to at least hold me over.
I'm not even going to talk about this right now. Hey, man, we're glad you're in the
area. I had some good barbecue in Kansas City this weekend.
Yeah, I saw you was there.
Man, those barbecue big beans, man. That's some of the best big beans I ever had in my life. Ooh, just go to Kansas City for nothing else. Just go for the barbecue big beans.
Man, Rod is crazy.
You know what? I'm going to let Rod keep talking. Because one day we may get like a deal with some type of sponsor for food, man. So, you know, do what you got to do, man. We're going to do our tailgate show as well, man. But, JQ is a simple man, but Rob is a little more of an Epicurean, so it's all good.
I know, right? Ooh, not Epicurean.
yeah. Bougie. He's too bougie.
Hey, man. Brother was eating some barbecue ribs and barbecue big beans, man. That was off the chain. There's nothing bougie about that. You talking about you being dirty.
There you go. Shout out to KC.
I love it. All right, so, America, before we get too crazy, too get off the subject here, let's keep it moving here. Let's talk about some quick numbers and how to get in contact with your boys, 424-243-9519 is always the number to call into the show. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. The Twitter handle is at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, if we are on Facebook, if you go to facebook.com/talkingsportsthe12thman, or if you put in 12th Man Sports, you will find us as well. Gentlemen, let's kind of kick it right off the gate, and let's talk about a quick World Series update. So, JQ, you want to kind of kick us off with that, sir? Any of your thoughts so far right now in the game? That's currently in the eighth inning.
Yeah, man. It's top of the eighth. Cleveland still up 3-0. Kluber just came out and just was heading on lights out. That backup fastball tailing back over the plate. He's been giving the Cubs fits. The Cubs had their chance. They had the bases loaded and no outs and couldn't get a run across, so they're now into Miller time in Cleveland. I think it might be lights out. Game one looks like it's going to the Indians, unless Chicago has a crazy comeback. But those fans in Cleveland are amped. Between that and the Cavs tonight, you can't tell them nothing right now.
Rob, what are your thoughts about this, sir?
Yeah.
Kluber, 8 strikeouts in the first 3 innings. Man, that's unheard of. World Series record. And as JQ mentioned, Miller time. Miller has been a beast in the playoffs, and he's still a beast. Obviously, Perez, the catcher, got a big home run to go up 3-0 here. And that's still the score, 3-0 in the 8th inning. And, yeah, Cleveland is the capital of the sports world tonight. The Cavs get their rings. The banner goes up in the basketball arena. And the Indians trying to deliver the first World Series championship for Cleveland since 1948. I tell you, it'll be one magical year if they pull it out.
Man, it must be the end of days.
Yeah, it's almost scary. It is almost scary to happen. But I will say this, guys, no matter what team wins, this is a great series because it's guaranteed to see a team that hasn't won, like, I think, what is it? Cubs like 71 years, and I think, like you said, Cleveland like 68. So it's going to be good to see somebody win. You know, just kind of refreshing to see this as well, too, man. So I'm kind of happy for both teams and for both cities, if you will. And it'll be it's kind of one of those things where it's kind of great to see history in the making here. So we'll keep that going. I know I've got fans on both sides of the fence here. Yeah, go ahead.
I think a couple of shows ago we talked about what series matchups would be the most intriguing, and this was one of them, Cleveland against Chicago, that we talked about on our show a few weeks back, right before the playoffs started, for that particular reason, that one of these teams is going to break their curse. So mm-hmm. that's still going to be interesting to see how the series turns out. But one of these teams is going to break their curse.
Yeah, man, I might have to break out that Kenny Lofton jersey.
Nice.
Well, you're bringing them some good luck tonight. Still remember Kenny Lofton had one of the best catches of all time when he climbed that fence to go up and get that ball. Probably had several of them, but one of them still stands out in my mind.
Yeah. Yeah, love Kenny Lofton, number 7.
I used to love some of the Cubs, like some of the classics, you know, from the Ernie Banks to the Ryan Sambers to the, you know, Mark Graces, Sean Dunstan. Yeah, just some great.
Andre Dawson.
Austin Dawson. Anybody named Andre is pretty awesome in my book. But, no, I mean, it's just crazy.
Okay.
Like, you know,
Andre Peterson.
Hey, man, you keep it up, Rob. You may not be on the show, bro. You know what I'm saying? you know, it's all good, man. But, yeah, let's keep moving here. Gentlemen, let's talk about the top 5 teams in the NFL right now. And much to my chagrin, I'm going to kick it off to you, Rob. Give us your top 5 right now currently.
Well, I got to start off with the New England Patriots, Tom Brady, and the Patriots to get back in the groove. You can say that they have a few defensive deficiencies right now, but I think Bill Belichick will mask them enough for them to be successful going forward. And, of course, Tom Brady, he's got the 2 tight ends going, Gronkowski, Martellus Bennett, getting enough out of his running backs, Garrett, and James White is helping him tremendously in the passing game, 2 out of the backfield. So I got to go with New England at number 1. Number 2, I got to go with the Cowboys. Zeke Elliott and Dak Prescott is showing maturity beyond the years. And obviously, the offensive line, I think, is still the best in football. And the defense is showing some improvement. I'm going to put them at number 2 right now. I'm not so sure they're still going to be the team that's going to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. But I'm going to say for right now in the league, they're showing me a lot. So I'm going to put them in the number 2 spot. Number 3, I dropped Minnesota down. Obviously, just lost a game that I thought they would win. They came out very sluggish offensively. Sam Bradford probably had his worst game of the season. So I dropped him down to the number 3 spot. Seattle, even though that was one ugly game on Sunday night. And you can see that Russell Wilson is not quite 100%. Looked like he's playing on 1.5 legs. But defensively, they're still strong. And obviously they went on the road and played tough and had a chance to pull a game out. But I still have them at the number 4 spot. And number 5, Denver. They seem to have bounced back a little bit here in the last couple of weeks. Winning 2 games in a row after losing 2 games in a row. Defensively, they're still strong. And when Trevor Siemian plays, they seem to be a lot better on the offensive side of the ball. So I have them at the number 5 spot right now.
Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, I really can't come up with the top because I really think it's a line of demarcation between the Patriots at number one, again, which Rob spoke of. Tom Brady in three games has 1,000 yards. I mean, that's just insane to even say out loud in the words. You know, he could have a 4,000-yard season in 12 games if he keeps on this pace. Just think how remarkable that would be. If he does that and they get the one seed in the AFC, he's the MVP hands down. It hurts my soul to say that out loud. But it's just ridiculous what he's doing. I agree with Rob. Dallas at number two. I mean, we didn't think that defense was going to be that good, but when you can run the ball and keep the time of possession, you can keep that defense fresh. You see what a big difference that makes for that Dallas team. Dak and Zeke just doing their thing. There's nothing else to really say more about them. And then that 3-5 slot, you know, Minnesota took a one on the chin at Philadelphia, but you know, Philadelphia was going to be ready for him. They wanted to hit Sam Bradford in the mouth and show everybody that, hey, you know, he ain't that good, that dude. You know, that's why we got rid of him, and they exposed him a little bit. Seattle, even though that game was like watching, you know, I text you guys, it was like watching LSU and Alabama in like 2013 or whatever year that was. It was like 9-6. It was just ridiculous. And then I want to put Denver in there as well. That defense is absolutely phenomenal. It's lights out. The only reason why they're not any higher is because of they have the young quarterback in Simeon. And you can see him make some mistakes and miss some throws, but then he gets in a rhythm. And you see with Sanders and Bebe out there that, you know, they've got a dynamic wide receiving core, and then that Anderson-Booker combo reminds me a lot of that Coleman and Freeman running back combo in Atlanta, which they're trying to do with it. So I still got to put them five. I need to see them some more from Simeon to move them up, but they got a shot because that defense is just phenomenal. And I think I got to put Atlanta on the outside looking in right now. That was just an egregious loss to San Diego at home. There's no other words for it. I'm sorry, Dre, but you just have to win that game. And when you get that lead, you got to. So that's my top five plus a bonus.
I love it. Appreciate that.
Hey, that Seattle-Arizona game, man, was about as boring as watching Van Camp make pork and beans.
Wow.
Yeah, appreciate the analogy. He was waiting for that one, JQ. I think he was waiting to use that, man. So good call. I'm going to go a little different here. I mean, obviously, I think everyone's agreeing from the top with the Patriots. I'm going to switch up. You know, even though Vikings lost to the Eagles, I think, you know, obviously it's tough because, you know, like you said, Rob, I mean, and you, JQ, as far as, you know, Sam Bradford, you know, he gave the ball over, turned the ball over, so it doesn't matter. I still think they just kind of had a situation where turning the ball over. So I still like him at number two. I like Cowboys at three. I'm not going to give the Seahawks any love, man. That was terrible, man. I'm going to put the Broncos at number four. And then my fifth and surprise team is going to be the Eagles, man. So I think they're doing some work, man. So anyway, okay. That's my top five, only because, you know, I'm not I'm still mad about Richard Sherman, so that's a whole other conversation, man. But we'll talk about that. And then it's kind of jokey, but on a serious note too, man, you know, they are – that was a terrible game, man. So I don't know what's happening, or I don't know if it's just kind of a situation where Arizona had a great defense or just – I don't know. It was terrible. So anyway.
Neither one of them have an offensive line is the problem. Neither one of them have an offensive line.
Yep.
Yeah,
it's true.
It's just terrible. Let's talk about this controversial situation that Giants released kicker Josh Brown. What are your thoughts about this, JQ? Is this justified, or, I mean, not to that degree, but just your thoughts about this whole situation, if you will?
Well, you remember, it was a couple of months ago now, we talked about that where, you know, I said it on one of our shows that they kind of didn't do the right by the Ray Rices of the world, and not that Ray Rice deserves any, you know, sympathy. But the way he was dealt with, opposed to the way that Brown was dealt with, just is a glaring deficiency by the NFL on how they mete out punishment. And it was only because the uproar got so loud, and then the journal had to come out where he actually put in his own words that, you know, I beat my wife, that it came to a head, and they just had to release him. I mean, their hand was forced, but the fact that it came to the decision, their hand had to be forced by the outcry. Just means the NFL has a lot of work to do. And it just, you know, you see the white kicker get one set of rules, and you see the black running back get another set of rules. And, I mean, I think it's a fair question or assessment to put out there is, you know, does that have anything to do with it? Because you got to think about it. The Ravens owner is in good with Goodell, and he tried, if you remember, he tried to shield the Ray Rice piece. But once that videotape came out, the punishment came swift, fast, and in a hurry for Ray Rice. as opposed to Josh Brown. Everybody loves the Mara family who own the Giants. But this has taken way too long. I can't remember how many months ago we talked about this, but we did. And I think Bleacher Report had a story on it the next day, and that was still months ago. And now we're a good 2 months now until he got released. And I just don't know if that happens for anybody else. I think it's fair to put that statement out there, and it puts the NFL in a very bad light.
Yeah. I'm sure we're going to hear a comment about Robert's favorite commissioner, Roger Goodell. Go ahead, Rob.
You know it, right? You already know it. I told you so, right? I told you so. How many times have I said it?
I knew it was coming. Well,
I can only – I don't want to go a whole lot into it. I'll just echo what JQ said, and he's right. And we talked about it right before the season. Josh Brown was getting off easy on this situation with a one-game suspension. And you hate to go there with the race car, but it's obvious. I mean, the NFL and the Giants both straight up dropped the ball on the situation. And from the NFL standpoint, they have been dropping the ball on a lot of situations. And the Giants are trying to make the case here that, you know, we're trying to help them. But, hey, you guys didn't try to help Ray Rice. You guys didn't try to help Greg Hardy. I mean, so it is. But these guys are not getting second chances. And, they literally dropped the ball on the situation. And I just think the NFL needs to take a lot of these things out of Roger Goodell's hands, just my personal opinion.
Yep.
All right, gentlemen, 13 minutes left in the show. Good call. Good, very succinct point. And I had a feeling that was coming. Let's talk about, the game that we had, obviously Monday night game. And it looks like there are two different teams going in two different directions. And what I mean by that is that if you are the Texans, you thought you had a quarterback problem sort of solved. And I'm not quite sure. Maybe it's too early right now. Maybe it's Bill O'Brien. I don't know. But right now, somebody's looking very intelligent. Somebody's looking like, yeah, you got duped. And I really do think that if Brock Osweiler, we're going to talk about how he removed all doubts about the Broncos making the right decision. But I do think if Brock was there in Denver, he would still be a different player. I'm not saying he'd be as successful, but, obviously the money was maybe that's the issue or whatnot. But I think he'd be a different quarterback if he was in Denver. Nothing against Trevor, but obviously Trevor's kind of taking the ball. But you talk about an interesting scenario. But, I'm going to kick it to you, JQ. What do we think about this and that Broncos making the right moves? And like I said, it seems like if I'm a quarterback, I would say it in Denver because everything is kind of custom-made as far as from my vantage point. So go ahead, sir.
Yeah, and he against that game against Denver, when he said in the offseason about a better opportunity, I mean, those dudes just have been talking about that all week. The same way that Philadelphia was waiting on Sam Bradford, Denver was waiting on Brock Osweiler. But I'm going to also, the same way we were ready to annoy Carson once I said, don't put the gold jacket on him yet, let's not just throw him in the trash heap quite yet. Again, he was in that Bronco system for 4 years. He's still adjusting to O'Brien. He doesn't have nowhere near the same level of personnel on defense. And as much as DeAndre Hopkins is a stud from top to bottom, I would still take Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas over Will Fuller and Braxton Miller and Hopkins. I would. And the running back situation they have in Denver is also better. So I'm not going to throw him too far under it. I want to give him a little bit more time to see how that works out, to see if they can develop some chemistry. But it looks to me, from a vantage point of watching, with no, I don't have any personal feelings about whether he or not he succeeds or fails. But it looks like he's pressing to justify to live up to that contract and pressing he's playing bad football. If he would just go back to relaxing and playing football, you may see somebody different. Now, you may not. He might just not be that guy. That could totally be the case. But I think right now he's pressing. And I would like to see if he would, just go ahead and play ball if his numbers wouldn't improve.
Good, Rob.
Well, I think the thing we also got to remember here is that Brock Osweiler was never impressive with Denver. And I don't think he's ever looked as good as Trevor Siemian is looking with the Broncos. And so, you just have to give the Broncos organization a lot of credit for not overpaying to keep Osweiler in this situation. But Trevor Siemian, in my opinion, has looked better with this Denver organization than Brock Osweiler ever looked with the Broncos. And, let's just state the facts. And, you know, I'm not going to say he's a bust yet. I mean, he's, you know, only playing, what, 6-7 games so far in the Texans uniform.
Mm-hmm.
But will he be a little bit better with Denver? Absolutely, because Denver's a better team. But he's never looked as good as Trevor Siemian has looked with the Broncos.
He was 5-2 with Denver, though, I think. So, I mean, I'm not gonna totally, yeah, but he's got a better team. Don't get me wrong. But, I mean, he didn't ruin it for them last year until they could get Peyton back just to manage the team, basically,
yeah.
down the thing. But, you know, he still went 5-2. That's what I'm saying. I'm not going to throw too much dirt on him. He's looked awful. And that's not me being a Brock Osweiler fan by no stretch of the imagination. But he went 5-2, and he helped keep that ship afloat till Peyton could get back. That's what I'm saying. I'm going to give him a little time. He looks like he's pressing. You press in Denver because you got Peyton on the bench and you got John Elway, who's one of the greatest of all time as your GM, and then you get paid a stupid amount of money by Houston. So you feel a lot of pressure to live up to that. And, you know, pressure busts pipes, and you want to see him rise to the occasion. But he's also still a young dude, with, like you said, with not a whole lot of starts under his belt. So right now it's looking like a great, great, great move by Denver not to pay him. But next year, if he, you know, gets it somewhat together, will we feel the same way? Probably not. I just don't want to rush the judgment. You know, I think sometimes we get too caught up in rushing the judgment too fast in the latest thing that's happened. It's either the best or the worst thing we've ever seen. And start letting it marinate for a little bit and see how it actually plays out over the course of a year or two. And they're going to have to keep him since they gave him that kind of money. They're stuck with him for at least a couple of years, so that guaranteed money is gone.
Hey, you're right. They did go 5-2, but it wasn't because of him being impressive. As you know, he never had a great game. You know, it was based on his that team playing great defense and him doing just enough to help them to win.
Yeah, but he didn't lose, is all I'm saying. A really bad quarterback can still lose it with a great defense. So I'm saying he didn't lose it. So I'm gonna give him a slight bit of a kernel. That's what I'm saying. Not a whole kernel, but a slight kernel, a piece of it. You know, a quarter of it.
It's funny because Brock Osweiler's mom just tweeted Rob and said that she doesn't agree with your statement, man. So I'm just throwing that out there, man. That's why
I'm sorry,
man.
Mom, but I think about
going
back 5% of America might agree with me.
They probably do. They probably do.
We got about 7 minutes here. This is pretty amazing in that Ben Roethlisberger, he's been seen throwing at practice after having surgery 8 days ago. Rob, is this what are your thoughts about this, man? What's up with that?
Well, I think you got to be careful with – I think if you're the Steelers, you got to be careful trying to rush him back too soon. I think in this day and age, you want to let these guys heal from these injuries to almost being back to 100%. You know, I've dogged out Les Miles, you know, tremendously. But I also say that
tremendously.
I think even going to just looking at LSU standpoint, Leonard Fournette should not have been playing in those first few games of the season. He was not 100%, and they should have just let him heal. They had enough depth at running back position. And obviously Landry Jones has not been Roethlisberger. But, you know, if Roethlisberger is your franchise quarterback, you won't let this guy heal. You saw the same thing with J.J. Watt with the Texans. You brought him back too soon. And now look at this. He's practically almost done for the season. And so that's a big blow to the Texans organization. So if I'm the Steelers, let him heal. Let him get right. And you know, maybe you can have him toward the end of the season. I mean, it don't look like anybody's going to run away with this division, the AFC North. So they might still have a shot to pull it out in the end. If I'm the Steelers, let them get healthy. Don't rush them back.
Don't get JQ's hopes up like that, Rob. Go ahead, JQ.
No. He stole what I was going to say. I agree with everything that he was saying. He stole what I was going to say at the end. Is that the flip side of that is that the Browns suck, the Ravens suck, and the Bengals are schizophrenic, and they borderline suck. And I'm a Bengals fan, but, you know, they were letting Hogan go up and down the field on them like, you know, he was a grizzled vet. Like, that division is very winnable. They lost to the Patriots. Can they beat the Browns with Landry? They probably can. They can probably beat the Ravens with Landry as well. You know, so they can steal some wins against those mediocre to bottom feeding teams as they come on the schedule. You let Roethlisberger get healthy, and you sit there. You know, they got two games, I believe, in this division, or one game, two games in the division to work with right now over the Ravens and I think the Bengals. So, you know, you still got a cushion that even if they lost three, you're talking about being tied and then bringing Ben back in 4 weeks if it's the earlier part of the thing, or if you still a win or two in there in that next four or five games, you know, you're still tied, and Roethlisberger comes back 100%, you got him for a stretch run. So, I totally agree. Let him get to at least 85%. He can't be no more than 40 to 50%. You know, standing out there in street clothes throwing the ball is great, but evading the rush is a totally different animal. So, let him get healthy. I hope they put him in there now so he can, you know, be gone for the rest of the year. But from a objective, you know, commentating standpoint, you got to sit him down because you can still win that division. You're not catching the Patriots, so it's not happening. They already got a game in hand on you head-to-head, so you're not catching them for the best record, right? So you might as well just get healthy and still have a shot at the division.
Yep. Look at that. That's pretty objective from a Bengals fan, guys. I'm pretty impressed with you, man. Way to be objective, man, 100%. Good job.
That's true.
All right, we got about 4 minutes here. Let's talk about this point, and then we'll get ready to talk about some fantasy shout-outs here. But interesting question. Does John Fox still believe in Jay Cutler? Your call, JQ.
Nobody believes in Jay Cutler. What kind of question is that?
Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler. Go ahead.
Right. No, he doesn't. You talk about, oh, we don't know when Jay Cutler coming back. He's probably done for the year. Brian Hoyer breaks his forearm. Oh, Jay Cutler is magically cleared by the doctors. You don't say. The thumb injury that was only supposed to be a week or two, that's lingered because Brian Hoyer was playing well, is now miraculously okay to come out and throw passes. Sure. They were going to keep riding that thumb injury for as long as they could have because they don't believe in Jay Cutler no more than any of the three of us do. So, yeah, no.
Go ahead, Rob.
It's safe to say that I think if you're the Bears, you better be hoping you get one of these top five picks so you can get a quarterback in this draft. Jay Cutler, obviously, is probably going to be their guy going forward the rest of the season. He would have to do something miraculously to come back next season as the Bears quarterback. I just don't see it. You got to get your franchise quarterback in the draft this offseason.
He needs a lobotomy. Oh.
He needs everything. Speaking of that,
yeah,
I'm talking about somebody else that, I kind of feel sorry. Not sorry, but just messed up. And that Geno Smith, man, here he had a perfect opportunity, you know, and just got hurt, man. Just once again, in the Jets, same thing. They're going to be looking for a quarterback too, man, because just a terrible situation. I mean, not that – shout out, Tad. He's a huge Jets fan, man. But he was just like, man, give Geno the opportunity. And what does he do? He messes around and just – not that it's his fault, but, you know, everything in his career in New York's been kind of up and down, getting punched in the face for owing something. It's not really
– he's an
idiot.
It's
terrible, man. Yeah, we know. All right, really quickly. Rob, we got about 2 minutes here. Let's do the fantasy shout out and get ready for – the OT portion of the game, sir.
All right. League number one, Gentilly Hot Sausages. If you haven't had a hot sausage from New Orleans, you're missing the treat. They beat the Monsters of the Midway 155.26 to 71.86. Andre, how you going to pay for that fine?
Straight cash, homie.
Straight cash, homie. My co-host, Andre, is in first place. In league number one. League number two, EP Diablos, Willie from El Paso, Texas, over my co-host, Andre. Playoffs. 136.60 to 115.22. The EP Diablos also in first place in that league.
Crazy.
League number three, my other co-host, Ohio Players, over Unger's Crew, 139.58 to 75.94, the biggest week victory. And also Ohio Players, my co-host JQ, holding down first place in that league as well.
Yes,
we just tipped off fantasy basketball, so we'll be adding that to the shout-outs on next week as well. Thank you all for competing. Thank you all for tuning in to the show tonight. We'll be back on the air next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. For our friends in Hawaii, aloha. That'll be 5 p.m. for you all on Tuesday night. We'll be more of the same, World Series, NFL, college football, NBA. We got it all covered for you. Tune in next week. We also got the OT portion. Click on the same link on tomorrow. We got more football to talk about, NBA as well. So you definitely want to click on the same link to get that coverage on tomorrow. Good night, people.
JQ.
Stay classy, San Diego. I'm sorry I had to say that to you this week, Andre. I know that pisses you off, but stay classy.
Hey, man, there's no judgment in my game, man. I just want to tell you really quickly for the fantasy shout-outs. Notice who's holding it down. Rob, how you doing fantasy-wise, bro? Everything good over there?
Yeah, anything we got to talk about fantasy wise?
Well,
what happened?
Well, I'm in four leagues as of now, and three of them I'll be in a playoff. So I got to get one team up, and I got to keep getting better on the other ones. But
I'm just messing around. All right, once again,
that's
we
all right.
Appreciate that. How about talking junk? I'm just saying. I'm just. You know, it's all good.
You're trying to take a shot, but I'll be there.
I figured one of us, JQ, was going to say something as well, man. So I figured I'd beat him in the punch.
That was my last week. It was your turn this week.
Oh, man. It's all good. He's like talking about all his other leagues and how he's doing, but he ain't talking about our leagues. I love it.
I'm in four leagues, and then three out of four right now I would be in the playoffs. So it's only one of my 12-man sports teams I wouldn't be in the playoffs as of now. So I got some work to do.
You're trying to spin it, man. It's all about the spin.
But I am in first place.
Okay. You still got to get it in, man. It's like getting this food shout out. Hey, let's keep this moving here. And I guess let's talk about some NFL predictions here. We got some pretty good games here. Detroit at Houston. And before I kick this off, too, I'm going to talk about this. And you would think, guys, I know we kind of picked – maybe we picked off because I didn't think about the ramifications of Sam Bradford going back into Philly, getting wiped. You know, same thing about Brock going back into Denver and getting wiped. So you got to think about that when you're making some more predictions because – it's like those situations, they were just waiting for him. Like, oh, okay, Sam Bradford, this is, you know, kind of psychologically what happened in both of those scenarios. But anyway,
yep.
Let's talk about this first game. JQ, kick it off as far as this. Your thoughts, Detroit at Houston. My bad. Go ahead, sir.
I think it's going to be one of those ones that's an all-star. Just coming off our fantasy talks about our fantasy shout-outs, that if you got an offensive player going in this game, you want to start him. I'm having a hard time betting against Matthew Stafford right now. He is – I don't know if he's liberated. I know it's a bad word to use considering he had Calvin Johnson, but I feel like he's more liberated to throw the ball around the yard as opposed to looking for one guy. And, I mean, Golden Tate and Marvin Jones have really been an emergence for him. They don't have a great running game, but they're just finding ways, you know, to be in the game at the end. And, again, we just talked about Brock. He should find some more room against that Detroit secondary. But the Houston secondary is also banged up. You know, we saw that on Monday night. They're down to you know, four, five, six-string cornerbacks. And talking about Stafford, I think he just finds just enough the way to win again. Another, you know, four-point win off a late touchdown. I think it happens for Detroit again. Good God almighty, Cleveland. Three-run bomb. It's now 6-0.
Wow. That's crazy. Go
Roberto
ahead,
Perez
Rob. Yeah, go ahead, Rob. Man, he's having a great series. Go ahead, Rob. Your thoughts about this game, too.
Well, I agree with JQ. Detroit quietly is on a mini roll right now. I don't think a lot of people are even aware of it. Matthew Stafford might be playing his best football he's ever had in the NFL. He's having an outstanding season. I like them to go on the road and win this game against Houston. I think Houston continues to struggle offensively. They're not going to be able to score enough points to be on the same field with Houston, Detroit. I'm sorry. I like Detroit on the road.
Good call. Yeah, I mean, I was thinking that Houston was going to try to, like, have, like, some type of comeback after that emotional game, but Detroit is hot, like both of you said, man. So we'll see how that plays out for sure. New England at Buffalo. This is a pretty interesting game in that, you know, Rex Ryan has always tried to do something for Mr. Tom Brady, but as JQ said, 1,000 yards, man, so far. What are your thoughts, JQ, going into this one?
I don't really think it's – you just touched on what I was going to say, Bill Belichick versus Rex Ryan. I'm going to go with Bill Belichick 10 out of 10 times, even if Bill Belichick has the stomach flu and the bird flu at the same time. It's just not going to happen. New England.
Go ahead, Rob.
Well, you know, the Bills were on a roll. They had won four in a row, and it looked like they were about to win five in a row. And all of a sudden, Miami came back and beat them. But they won't be able to compete with the Patriots. I like the Patriots on the road. They won't be able to compete with Brady and company.
Good call. Mm-hmm. Next pick, ready for this, Mr. Rob Ford, Green Bay at Atlanta.
You know, I hate to say this, but I actually like Green Bay on the road in this game. I think Atlanta seems to be having some mental mistakes here the last couple of weeks. It's costing them some victories. I think Green Bay will slow Atlanta down just enough, but you know, it's going to be a shootout. You know, both teams are going to put up some points in this game. Atlanta is a team right now that can there's a 50-50 chance that they'll win because they're going to score a lot of points, but they're going to give up a lot of points. And yeah. And I think Green Bay will have just enough defense to slow them down, but they're also going to score enough points. I say Green Bay 30-27. So I'm going with all the
rules.
Good call.
Good call. And I know you didn't really hate to say that too. So, but I like your now very good analysis too. JQ, your thoughts, sir?
I hate it for you, Dre, but I agree. I just think that sometimes Atlanta, they're their own worst enemy. You know what I mean? And if Phillip Rivers can come and do that to them, what can Aaron Rodgers come down here and do to them? I think they'll be amped up for it for sure. I think it'll be a close game. I agree. I think it's going to be a shootout. It's another one that I think is going to be that one, that Detroit and that Houston as well, one of the shootouts. But I would like to see Atlanta win it, but I got to kind of go with Green Bay. I mean, if Phillip Rivers and that depleted crew can come do it, I think Aaron Rodgers and them can do it too. And I think the Green Bay has figured out that, especially without Eddie Lacy, that they have to throw that ball 50 times a game, use Ty Montgomery all around as a, you know, H-back, a running back, a wide receiver. And then that trio of Devontae Adams, Jordan Nelson, and Randall Cobb, I think this may be too much for that Atlanta secondary.
Good call. It's a good game. Like I said, I you know, you're not going to hurt my feelings either way. I mean, it's just one of the things, you know, we didn't play a 50-50 shot, man. So not sure what team is going to show up, the team that was explosive offensively or the team that was there last 2 weeks. So, yeah, right now we got a lot to prove as well. So good calls. Gentlemen, the next game here, dubbing this the Rookie Quarterback Bowl right now, but this is a very intriguing matchup, Philadelphia at Dallas. Man, this is going to be actually a pretty exciting game, to say the least, man. So right now, gentlemen, I guess let's kick it off with you, JQ. What do you think happens Philadelphia at Dallas? This is a great, great, great matchup.
Yeah, that Philadelphia defensive line, Fletcher Cox and company, against that, I think, the best offensive line in football in Dallas. And we keep, you know, at some point we got to start picking these dudes, right? Dak is not like your normal rookie. Zeke is at one heck of a back against behind a great offensive line. I think they do the same thing. They find a way to control that clock, run, slow down and wear down that Philadelphia defense, keep Carson Wentz off the field, and they find a way to win a 5-point game. Dallas.
Wow. Wow. Rob, what do you think about that? Shake you going with that.
I totally agree. I think Dallas is going to control the clock. Dallas is not turning over the ball this season. They're taking care of the football. They're not making mistakes, and they'll have just enough defense to win, and they'll probably have their time of possession about 35 to 40 minutes here, and they win this football game. I think they win by 10 points.
I'm picking some magic by Carson Wentz, man. That's just me, man. I like it, man. So I just think it's going to happen, man. I'm on the train, man. We'll see how it plays out, man. So you heard that. That's Andre going against the grain, picking Eagles for that upset. Anyway, that's what I got. Let's shift some gears here to college football here and the Big Six Bowl prediction. Excuse me. So, Rob, the floor is yours, sir. Go ahead, man. Kick us off.
Let's go with Peach Bowl in Atlanta. I got Alabama against Washington. Fiesta Bowl. We got Clemson. And I still got Ohio State in there. I think they recover. I believe they have Michigan at home. And so I still think they recover and still make it to the Final Four playoffs. Rose Bowl, Michigan and Utah, no changes there. Sugar Bowl, got a slight change. Instead of Oklahoma, I've moved West Virginia. Oklahoma defense is just so porous. And West Virginia is quietly undefeated. They're playing outstanding defense on both sides of the ball. It looks to me that they're the best team in the Big 12. I'm going to go West Virginia and Texas A&M. In the Sugar Bowl. Cotton Bowl, got Tennessee, Boise State. Orange Bowl, Louisville, Wisconsin. Still got to watch Louisville. They possibly can still sneak into the top four.
What are your thoughts about that, JQ?
I don't have none. I forfeit my thoughts because I clearly don't know a thing about what's happening, and I'm still stunned. So don't listen to me. I'm just going to go where Rob said. I suck. My predictions are going to suck on the college football. So I'm just going to – I'm throwing it back to you, Dre.
JQ.
Well, at least I don't have
oh,
to pick
an
Arkansas game this week because I seem to always get that one wrong. Either way.
Yeah, I keep trying to tell you about Brett Bielman, bro.
When I pick Arkansas to win, they lose. When I pick them to lose, they win. So, yeah, I'm glad we don't have to pick an Arkansas game this week.
Just let me go first and then agree.
You know, Rob put that in there. Anytime there's, like, predictions or, you know, whole, like, breakdowns, I just kind of throw it over to Rob because I figured he's already, like, done his research, man. So we love you, bro, for doing that, man. So keep rolling with it, man. We're like, yeah, all right, that sounds good. Okay, whatever.
I'm pissed. That's what it was. Like, I just don't know anything.
Yeah, JQ, he's all shook up after Saturday, man. But it's all good, man. It's good, man. We'll right the ship, man. At least you kind of put Ohio State back in there. Like I said, it's only one loss, JQ, so you're good. No worries. Let's kick this off here. We got some predictions here. Number 4, Washington, playing like we talked about versus number 17, Utah. What are your thoughts about this, Rob? Go ahead, man.
I like Washington. Washington is nasty on offense and defensive line. They're getting it done with the quarterback play as well and Jake Browning. And obviously Utah has a very good offensive line as well, a very very underrated running back and Joe Williams. But, man, Washington's smallest defensive tackle is 310 pounds. They're nasty on that D-line. They're going to be able to slow down Utah's running game. I like Washington on the road.
JQ?
I just came in my heart. I feel like Washington's a better team, but we've all seen the better team, especially the highly ranked team, going on the road in conference, how hard that is to do. They're going to be fired up in Utah. I don't know if they can really drink, so they're going to be on a whole lot of pumpkin spice lattes and other kinds of modules or whatever else they're going to be drinking. But I'm going to go with Utah. I'm going to go with that confidence that game at home against the higher-ranked team. And for the things we talked about with Utah, they shouldn't win, but I think they find a way to win one of those ridiculous conference games where they take down the higher-rated team that's coming on the road. I'm going to go with Utah.
Wow.
Just so you know, JQ, I spent a lot of time in Salt Lake City, and they drink beer like a Lush.
Oh, okay.
They do. There's
a lot
of Lush things. There's a lot of things about Utah that we're gonna leave unsaid on the air. But yeah, let's say that Utah is not as what you think. I'm just gonna say that, man, because I got family there too, man. That's a whole other conversation. Number 7, Nebraska. Number 11, Wisconsin. Any thoughts about this particular game, JQ?
I liked Wisconsin, but I just lost the linebacker's name. They lost, and he was just a machine in the middle. They lost him for the season due to injury. I just can't. Nebraska's going to have to prove it to me for a whole season, right? And I've seen Wisconsin come out there and play with the big boys, and when they didn't win, they still, you know, hung tough. So I got to go with Wisconsin. I just don't trust Nebraska. I just don't trust Armstrong. I don't in a big game. I don't. I'm going with Whiskey.
Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, and I believe the linebacker is Joe Cicero, I believe, is the one they're losing. But they're getting one of the linebackers back who they lost early in the season. But I agree for the same reason. Wisconsin is more battle-tested. They played Ohio State already. They played LSU already. And Nebraska, I haven't seen enough of them against a good opponent as of yet. So I got to go with Wisconsin in this game, and especially because they're at home as well.
2 minutes. Let's wrap this up. This game was supposed to be a more highly rated game than it actually is right now. A number 3 Clemson, number 12 FSU. I still think it's got some luster, but this is still a pretty good game. But I think it could have been a little bit more different. We were expecting these to be kind of the top teams in the ACC, and kind of hadn't played out that way. So tell me your thoughts about this one, Rob.
I like Clemson to go on the road in this game. Florida State secondary. I can't remember the quarterback's name for North Carolina, but he lit up Florida State secondary. He's not as good as Deshaun Watson. All of these 4- and 5-star recruits Florida State have not lived up to the billing just yet. So I got to go with Clemson on the road in this game.
Now we're going to go with Clemson. Yeah, we're going with Florida State before. Now we're going to go with Clemson. Okay.
Hey, that was before I saw a play. Not seeing the play is easy.
Oh,
hey,
yeah.
You got a lot to go off on once you see the team play. That was a preseason.
I tried to say, But for sure, I'm going to stay with Clemson. I think they just find a way to beat Florida State. Florida State's beatable. Deshaun Watson, I've been saying it from the get-go. I just think it's their year. And so I'm going with Clemson.